Last time we mentioned the idea of tam ke'iker, which means that any non-kosher item that is forbidden to eat, if it imparts taste, even to kosher food, then the kosher food becomes prohibited as well. But we mentioned that this doesn't apply in all circumstances. You need two things. It has to be a tam meshuvah, has to be a good taste, and the tam has to be nirgash. You have to be able to feel that taste in the kosher food. So if you have shishim in the heter keneged the iser, you have 60 times as much heter as the iser, so then the iser is not nirgash in the heter, then it's going to be permissible. Or, if it's what we call nosim tam lefgam, if the tam that enters into the non-kosher food is tam lefgam, it's a hogum taste, it's a, you know, it's not a good taste, it's a bad taste, it's a stale kind of taste, so then it's not going to hasim. The example of tam pogum that we gave was klisha eino ben yomo. If you have a kli that hasn't been used for hot food within 24 hours, then we assume that the tam inside of it will be no same tam lefgam into whatever you cook into the pot, so it won't prohibit the kosher food that you cook into the pot. And these are the two classical ways of being matir a tam issa. Either if it's a tam pogum, or if you have shishim in the head that can I get the issa. The Gemara points out that when it comes to basa b'chalav, there's another kula by tam ke'ikah. And that is what's called no sen tam bar no sen tam, a secondary infusion of taste. No sen tam bar no sen tam. What does that mean? So we know that generally speaking, let's say a person cooks nevela in a pot. He cooks non-kosher food in the pot. So that non-kosher food is no sen tam into the walls of the pot. And then if you cook kosher food, parva food, right? Kosher food, macaroni, potatoes, whatever, into the pot, then you have nevela, you have the non-kosher tam that's coming out of the walls of the pot into the potatoes, and they're going to prohibit those potatoes. Comes the Gemara in Chulin and raises a shayla. What's the din in the following case? Let's say a person cooks noodles in a fleshika pot. It's a pot that was used for meat, hot meat, you know, you cook your cholent there, there's a bli of meat in the pot, and then you cook parva, not milk. If you cook milk in the pot, so then the bli of basar from the walls of the pot is going directly into the milk. That's definitely basar b'chalav, that's a problem. If you are cooking food in the pot, you're cooking cholent in the pot, and you stick a dairy spoon in to stir it again. So the bli of chalav is coming out of the spoon and going directly into the basar. So if you have shishim, it's not going to be a problem. But if you have less than shishim in the basar, then it will last. There, the chalav and the basar are mixing together directly. But let's say you cook parva items. You cook rice, or you cook noodles in a pot that was used for fleshiks within the last 24 hours. So now the bli of basar is going to come out into the noodles. The question is, am I allowed to eat those noodles with chalav? Can I eat the noodles with the... Can I make macaroni and cheese out of those noodles? Right? Because you're going to be joining the cheese together with the noodles. What could be the problem? Cheese and noodles? No, but the noodles now have a bli of basar. Should we say that that's basar b'chalav or not? That's machlokes Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara. The Gemara in Chulin and Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis has the following case. It doesn't talk about macaroni, but it says, what's the din of dogim she'olu b'ka'ara? Let's say you have hot fish that comes straight out of a kli rishon, you pour it out of the kli rishon, onto a plate. The plate, the kedera, is a kedera shel basar. It has a bli of basar in it. Right, let's say you put a meat soup into the plate. You poured meat soup into the plate directly. Let's say you didn't even have a ladle. You pour directly into the plate, or you pour gravy into the plate or something, and then you put hot fish onto that plate. So Rav and Shmuel have a machlokas whether you can eat that fish, the kutach. Kutach is a milchik dip. It's like a ranch dressing. Something that they would dip bread into, but it's milchik. So here you have your hot fish. Dogim sha'olu b'ka'ara. That's interesting. We're not really talking about bishul over here. It's talking about hot fish that touch the ka'ara. Still is a bliya. There's a transfer of taste. Dogim sha'olu b'ka'ara. The question is whether mutar la'ochlam b'kutach or not. Machlok is Rav and Shmuel. Rav says it's mutter, and Shmuel says that it's asim. We paskin like Rav, that dogim shalav bakar is mutter la'achlam b'kutach. Why? So explains the Gemara, Rav holds that not bar natu. Not bar nat. It's no sentam bar no sentam. Which means it's a secondary infusion of taste. The basar went into the pot, now it comes out into the parav of a food item. The fish is parav. comes out into the power of a food item. So that's not real basa b'chalav. Right? It's not going directly. So comes around and says, you can eat that with milk. You can eat that with milk because you haven't created basa b'chalav here. The power of a food has a secondary infusion of basar. That's not cool having basar. We don't even eat basar and chalav together, even if it's not basar b'chalav. Now, we don't eat meat and milk together. But comes around and says, this is not a problem. It's not called eating meat and milk together. This is only nosintam by nosintam. There's a secondary infusion of taste, and therefore it's permissible. It's not called basa b'cholav. It's not called basa v'cholav. It's not like you're eating meat and milk together. It's totally permissible. That's Rav Shita. Why is this mutter? Why is not by not mutter by basa b'cholav? So the Ran there in Chulin gives a fundamental yisum. The Ran says that once the taste becomes a secondary infusion, once it is lowered to the status of nosen tam by nosen tam, it's weakened. It becomes a tam kolush. Tam kolush. Nosen tam by nosen tam, the Ran says, is a tam kolush. And the rule is that isser cannot be chal on a tam kolush. There can't be any isser macholas asuros that's chal on a weakened taste. So you can only have an isser macholas asuros chal on a strong taste. So once it's not barnai, once it's nosen tam by nosen tam, the taste has already been weakened. There's no possibility. Right? Even if you were to cook the chalav with the potatoes, with the macaroni, it wouldn't be basa b'chalav there. So Chazal never made a gzera not to eat the two items together. There's no way to create basa b'chalav with a nosen tam by nosen tam taste because it's already a tam kolosh, and you can't create isra out of a tam kolosh. That's what the Ran says. And based on that, the Ran points out that that's the difference between nevela as opposed to basa b'chalav. When it comes to nevela, if you have a secondary infusion of nevela taste into pyre, that's going to be a big problem. Meaning, let's say I cook basar in the pot. It turns out that it's nevela. So I had a primary infusion into the pot. Then that taste came out of the pot. I have nevela coming out of the pot into the macaroni. So I have a nosen tam by nosen tam taste of nevela into macaroni. Says the Ran, that's going to be a problem. But it's a tam kolosh. So the Ran, isser can't be chal on a tam kolosh. But once the tam is usser, it's not going to lose its shame isser, no matter how weakened the taste becomes. That's the chiddush. That nosen tam by nosen tam, the isura, if the original taste was isser, so that doesn't matter. Primary, secondary, tertiary, it doesn't matter what level you're talking about, that isser remains. As long as you can taste the isser, right? If you have shishim, if you can't taste the isser, it's not going to ask them. But if it doesn't matter how far removed from the original taste it is, that will still asa. That will still asa. But when it comes to heter, you see, basa b'chalav is what we call hetera bala. That the original belia was heter, it wasn't isser. So because the original belia was heter, the basa and the chalav by themselves are perfectly permissible. So then your nosen tam bar nosen tam taste is not going to be able to create any isser. Because it's already a tam kolosh, it's already a weakened taste before any isser can possibly be created. So therefore it's heter gomor. This is what the Ran says to distinguish between Naparnati Isura and Naparnati Entera. And just parenthetically, based on the Ran's distinction, that explains why if we want to kasher a kli, right, let's say a kli became Asa, became treif through Bishel, so what's the way that we kasher that kli? Hagola. Right? When do we do that Hagola? The minig is to wait 24 hours. We wait 24 hours until the kli is an Eino Ben Yomo, and then we do Hagavah. Why? What could be the problem? The answer is because once there's treif, once there's basar b'chalav in the pot, basar b'chalav itself is us, it's not like basar and chalav separately. Once there's basar b'chalav in the pot, or let's say there's the veil in the pot, so if we're going to kasher, if we're going to fill up the pot with boiling water before 24 hours, then the tam that comes out might be nosen tam by nosen tam, tam that's coming out into the water, is nosen tam by nosen tam, but not by not the isura, still kanaser. So if you're not going to have shishim, if you have shishim in the water, right, if you have a lot of water, and somehow you're going to have shishim, so then it shouldn't be a problem anyway. But the problem is, let's say you're going to put a lot of tray for pots into the boiling water at the same time. Right? You've got a vat of boiling water, but you're putting in five pots into the boiling water. You might not have shishim in the vat that you're kashering in to be mevatel all the time in the walls of all the pots. So that's why we wait until they're Eilam B'nei Yom, when they say, not 24 hours. Then it's no Sintan Lefkar. They won't aser the water. They don't aser the water. Then even if the tongue goes back into the pot, it's not going to be a problem. That's why the rule is, you do Hagol, you need to have one of two factors to do Hagol. Either you need Shishim in the water, Keneged, the walls of the pot, or if you don't have Shishim, if it's not a Ben Yomo, you got to wait 24 hours if the pot is not a Ben Yomo, and then the idea of Nakranat the Isura won't be a problem, because you don't have a tongue that's going to create any kind of this. Question. Lovely. Nevela. We're not even talking about meat and milk. Let's say you cook nevela in the pot, then you cook the macaroni in the pot. You're not allowed to eat the macaroni if it has a tam of nevela in it. So even if there's a secondary infusion of taste, that could be a problem. As long as you don't have shishim, can I get that taste, it's still a problem. It's not that the secondary infusion of taste is nothing, it's only a tam kolish. It's weakened. So because it's weakened, it can't create iser, but it still is awesome. So because it still is awesome, you would not be. It's not like a tam kolish doesn't mean it's like shishim. Shishim means the tam is not there. Gosh, tam is not felt that it's wood. That's not what nosen tam and nosen tam means. It means that the tam kolish is weakened. It still is awesome. It's weakened enough that it can't create the iser, but if it already is an iser, you're not allowed to eat it. So on.
Basar mechalav, you don't need to wait 24 hours.
The kasher between basar mechalav, we're going to talk about that. It's not so clear that you can kasher apart from basar to chalav and chalav to basar. There are certain circumstances where you might be able to do it. For Pesach of some. We generally don't kasher from basar to chalav. That's an old meaning that the poskim have, because we're afraid that if you rely on that, if we allow you to do that, then you might have one set of pots, and then you might rely on the fact that you're going to kasher from one to the other, and you might forget. So we don't do that.
So if you accidentally use something chalav, like with basar?
No, because in that case, you've created treif. You created basar b'chalav in the pot. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is hetera bola. I'm talking about that before the taste comes out of the pot, or better, when the taste first went into the pot, it was heter. So it is true that the first taste that went in, let's say you used the fleishiger pot, and you cooked milk in the fleishiger pot. So the meat went in beheter. Yeah, but now that the milk is going into the walls of the pot, it creates basar b'chalav, which is an iser. So what's coming out of the walls is going to be iser. That's the same as nevela coming out of the walls of the pot. Okay? Okay. Now, the post can point out that the rule of not by not, the rule of nosim tam by nosim tam, the heter is only b'di'evet. Not l'chadchili. You're not allowed to cause this not bar not. Now, where do they get that from? They get it from the Lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Dogim sha'olu b'ka'ara mutu la'ochlam b'krutach according to Rav. Olu. Sounds like it already happened. Someone put hot fish into the flesh of a kli, and then they say, Gevalt, it's in the flesh of a kli, can I eat it with my ranch dressing, with the milk of a dressing? So then we say, yeah, it's mutu. B'di'evet is mutu. L'chadchila, to put the hot fish into the meat plate with the intention to eat it with the kutah, that's prohibited. That you're not allowed to do. Not barnad, is mutter only b'di'evet, not l'chadchila. The question is, what does l'chadchila mean? You know, we have to examine different cases. What is l'chadchila, what's called b'di'evet? It's a big machlokas to machaber amo. The machlokas to machaber amo actually relates to the original case that I gave you. Let's say you use a fleishiger pot to cook macaroni. And then you want to use that macaroni for mac and cheese. You want to melt cheese onto the macaroni. Is that permissible? So the machaber says, yes, it's permissible. Once the macaroni has been made, you can't put the macaroni in the pot knowing that it's a kedera shel basar. You're going to cook the macaroni and then you're going to mix it with cheese. That you're not allowed to do. That's l'chadchila, that you're not allowed to do. Can't cause enough or not l'chadchila. But, says the machaber, once you've already created that macaroni, then you're allowed to make mac and cheese out of it. L'moshel, let's say a person makes prepared macaroni erev Shabbos for a pasta salad that he's going to serve at Chalashudas. And he has a pasta left over. So can you make mac and cheese out of it on Sunday? The machaber says, yes, absolutely. You didn't make the extra pasta so that you'll have pasta for the mac and cheese. If you did, if you know you always don't need so much macaroni, so you make extra, that doesn't count, then it would be awesome to make mac and cheese out of it. But let's say you have some left over. Right? You're going to have, the guests were going to come, you put out the macaroni, they didn't finish the macaroni. So the machaber would say you can make mac and cheese out of it. The Ramah says no. The Ramah says that if you already mixed the cheese with the macaroni, then you're allowed to eat it. You have to throw out the mac and cheese. But you're not allowed, it's still a chatchila to mix the cheese with the macaroni. Now why? If you want to ask me, I'd say b'di'evet. It's already been prepared. It's already been cooked in the Kedesh HaBasa. So what do you want? The not bar not has been created. And the whole point is l'chatchili, and I let it cause a secondary infusion of taste into Zayin Parah. If you've done it already, so what's the issue? It says, the poskim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Shach and Taz both explain, the Rabbah is machmir for a shitas Rashi. Postus on that Gemara in Chulin quotes Rashi. Rashi's son-in-law quotes this shita from Rashi. Rashi was machmir by not bar not when it comes to bishul. You know, there are different ways of transferring taste, as we described last time. There's bishul, and there is tzli, and roasting, and there is olu, that you have in the case in the Gemara in Chulin, where you have something hot. It's not on the fire, you have something hot. It's scalding hot, and you put it onto a kli. That's also going to transfer some kind of a taste. It's not bishul, it's not tzli, but it's still a heat medium. So comes Rashi and says that the whole heter of not bar not, according to Rav, is only by olu. If olu, maybe nitzlu, right? So there, since the medium of heat is not as strong as bishul, there we say that if the ham is only a secondary infusion of taste, it's only not bar not, it's mutter b'di'evet. But says Rashi, if you'll create the not bar not through bishul, you think that's not bar not, but bishul is a very powerful medium, Rashi holds. And since bishul is a powerful medium, it will prevent the tam rishon, the primary infusion of taste, from turning into a tam sheni, from turning into secondary infusion of taste. That even though b'mitzias, it looks like it's a secondary infusion, bishul strengthens that tam. It will strengthen that tam and keep it on its original level. So the reason why the Rama doesn't want to be mekil l'chatchila to mix the macaroni that was cooked in the meat pot to mix that with cheese is because the Rama is machmir v'shitas Rashi that it could be that's not bar not. There's a lot of knots over here, right? That isn't not bar not. That might be called a tam rishon because bishul might be too strong a mechanism of transfer of taste. So when it comes to bishul, it could be that your not bar not is really tam rishon. If it's tam rishon, then there's no heter. The whole heter is only by not bar not. Right? It would be, mixing the macaroni with the cheese would be like putting cheese into your fleishig pot. Not because the taste coming out of the pot is a tam rishon coming out of the pot. So maybe if the way that the taste comes out is through bishul, we don't view it as a secondary infusion. We view it as a tam rishon. It's viewed as a tam rishon, so then there's no heter of not bar not. That's why the Ramah says the only heter b'di'evet is after you've already mixed the macaroni together with the cheese. That's certainly b'di'evet. Then you would be allowed to use that, to eat that mac and cheese. This is a very, very important shiloh l'maisa. One of the most popular Yeridea shilohs that come up. Someone says, you know, they prepared macaroni in a fleishig pot. Can we use it for mac and cheese? No, Shiloh comes up every Monday and Thursday. The answer is machlokes machaber Ramah at first glance, right? According to the machaber, you'd be allowed to add the cheese to the macaroni once it's created, as long as you didn't have kavana when you originally cooked the macaroni to add it to the cheese. According to the Ramah, one would not be allowed to actually add it to the cheese. You'd have to wait. If someone, by mistake, someone in the family, you know, you put it in one of these containers, you put it in the refrigerator, you didn't tell anyone it was made in a fleishig pot. Then they make mac and cheese, and you say, Gevalt, do you know which macaroni you took? He says, it was in the, you didn't label it. I didn't know it was in the fridge. So you can say at that point, if you already added the cheese, it's okay. It's no problem. To the evidence, okay. But you should label it, I guess.
You already added the cheese.
Once it's on the macaroni, then that's called a b'di'evet. There's no need to throw out the macaroni. Then you're allowed to rely on the fact that it is not bar not. And meaning the chumrah of the Ramah to treat bishul like a tam rishon is only lechatchila. But b'di'evet, once it's already mixed with the cheese, then we say that you don't have to throw out the macaroni. You can actually eat. This is the reason. This machaber Ramah is the reason why some kashrus organizations put a symbol on some of their foods. You know what that symbol is? D-E. Dairy equipment. What do you think that is? Like, what does that matter? The answer is, I'll tell you what it matters. According to the Ramah, right, if it's made on dairy equipment, you would not be able to add the other item. Let's say it's made on fleishiga, it's made on dairy equipment, as a name. in the case. It's not kosher equipment, it's dairy equipment. So then you would not be able to eat that together with meat. Let's say they make a potato knish on dairy equipment. Right? So you wouldn't be able to eat that potato knish together with your cholent, together with your meat. According to the Mechaber, you would be able to eat it. What's the problem? It's already made. It's already b'di'evet. It's already b'di'evet. According to the Ramah, you'd have to be machmer. Right? If it's made on dairy equipment, then you would not be allowed to eat that parv item. It's parv. Right? It's parv. It doesn't make you, you know, if it would be made on fleshic equipment, it wouldn't make you fleshic. You have to wait 6 hours. No one would say it's fleshic. It's not fleshic. It's not dairy. But there's this halacha. Right? There's this halacha that there's a chumrah that it might be viewed as dairy. Might be viewed as dairy, then you shouldn't be eating it together with the fleshes. Okay, so that's machlokas machaber ema, whether you can make mac and cheese with noodles that have already been made in a keder shabbos. There is one situation. Yes.
In Ramah's case, is there any reason to be machmir if there's truly been yavin?
No. Well, what's the chumah going to be? It's rather nagarani, baltashkes? I don't know. We don't do baltashkes. It's a bad thing. Right, you'd be allowed to eat it then, at that point. Eitan.
Just to clarify, if the amount that you're cooking is more than shishim, that would matter?
The amount of macaroni?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we generally assume that if you're cooking it in a pot, you never have shishim connected to what you're cooking in the pot, because we never know how much basar was nivla into the walls of the pot, so we have to assume that the whole pot is covered with an absorption of basar, and if that comes out into the macaroni, by definition, chazal v'shar, then you're never going to have shishim.
So, have you ever heard that Oreos are actually only, they're not actually melchik?
I don't know how they're made, but if they're made in a way that they know that they're shishim, then that would be a problem anyway, right?
So I
don't know what that means, but you have to figure it out.
2 years ago, I emailed the OU. I asked them if Oreos are dairy.
Yes.
They emailed me back, and they gave me this whole thing. And they said, I pulled up the email right now. It's like short. I can read it. But
read
it's,
it, please.
It's really short.
Share it with us. Go ahead.
Dear Mr. Ever, thank you for contacting the OU. At the present time, most varieties of Oreo cookies contain dairy ingredients, with 3 notable exceptions. Original Oreo sandwich cookies, Oreo double stuffed sandwich cookies, and mini original Oreo sandwich cookies do not contain dairy ingredients, though they are manufactured on dairy equipment. The equipment is not necessarily clean before the production of these 3 cookies, and there may be a small amount of dairy residue present. Nonetheless, the dairy component would be minimal, and from a halakhic perspective, the dairy residue is nullified, buffel v'shishim, and of no consequence.
Okay, fine. So that's what they're saying, meaning the amount that's nivla might be too much to be bought though. But the amount that's not nivla is going to be bakil, so that's insignificant. So we're only looking at it at a not by not situation.
But what about the fact that the equipment is milchik?
No, so the equipment being milchik would tell me that I couldn't eat it together with meat, right? I couldn't eat it together with meat, but the question is it really dairy? Right? It's not. They're telling you it's not really dairy because the mamoshes of dairy is batel v'shishim, but it's dairy equipment anyway. You wouldn't be able to eat your Oreo cookie together with your hamburger.
Right, that's how the bottom line of all
that.
This is that the cookies may be consumed after meat, but not simultaneously.
There you go. That's clear that we all agree. Okay, good.
Because the
equipment the equipment is not a problem. The problem is that the mamoshes of dairy makes it real dairy, so that issue is not a problem because that could be bottled. The fact that the
equipment is milchik makes it together.
Shouldn't eat it together, right. Exactly. The one case that the Ramah himself would be willing to be mekel to eat the mac and cheese directly is let's say the fleishig pot hasn't been used in 24 hours. Right? These are issues that come back over and over again, as you see. Right? Till now, we've been talking about a keder shel basar that was used within 24 hours, so it has a real time of basar. But let's say the kli hasn't been used within 24 hours, so what's the time of basar inside of the walls of the pot? Then it's a time pogum. We know this. Right? If it hasn't been used in 24 hours, it's less than time of gam. So it's not going to be able to create basar b'chalav. Even if you were to cook chalav in the pot directly, it wouldn't create basar b'chalav. So there, the Ramah is willing to be mekil that if you've already cooked the macaroni in this pot, then you'd be allowed to mix it l'chachila with the cheese. So, again, going back to our old case, let's say a person prepared pasta for a part of a pasta salad, and he had some pasta left over, and he wants to mix it with the cheese. So if it were made in a pot that's an eino b'yomo, even the Rambam would say that you'd be allowed to mix it with the cheese. The Mechaber would say even if it's made in a pot that's b'yomo, one would be allowed to mix it with the cheese. As long as you didn't have in mind l'chatchila to make extra macaroni to mix it with the cheese, because then it's a b'di'evet. As long as you made the macaroni thinking that it would be finished before you wanted to use it for mac and cheese, so then you'd be allowed to eat the cheese. The Ramah says, no. If it's a ben yomo pot, then you shouldn't mix it with the cheese. Once it's mixed with the cheese, you'd be allowed to eat it. The other. What comes to Ramah and says that if the kli is an eino ben yomo, it hasn't been used in 24 hours, then you would be allowed to mix the macaroni with the cheese. Now, mind you, from the lashon of the Ramah, Rabbi Willig is medayik, the Ramah sounds like he holds that even with the eino ben yomo pot, you can't make the macaroni lechatchila on condition to mix it with the cheese. The Ramah still is only makel once you make the macaroni. Be careful here. There is a comment of the Gra, the Bira Gra, and that Ramah seems to say, and there are some who are makel for Yeshita, seems to say that if you're talking about a keder, which is eino ben yom, hasn't been used in 24 hours, there's no problem at all. You can cook the macaroni l'chatchila with the intention to make mac and cheese out of that macaroni. That's a big kula. Right? The Gra is saying, once the kli is an eino ben yomo, then the whole idea of not barnat is over. Like, there's no lechatchila, but there's no issur bechla. So then even lechatchila, you could cook the macaroni in that pot with the intent to make mac and cheese out of it. The Ramah doesn't seem to say that. Rabbi Willig is machmer for the Ramah. He says that, according to the Ramah, one still is not allowed to cook the macaroni lechatchila with the intention of mixing it with the cheese. But once the macaroni is made in the eino ben yomo pot, then you would be allowed to eat the cheese, which the Ramah normally would be machmer about. He'd say the only time that you would eat the mac and cheese is if it's already been made with the macaroni that was cooked in the pleasure of the pot. You see all of the different gradations? According to the Mechaber, once in the Nisbashel, the Kedera Shel Basar, Afilu ben yomo, it's mutar la'arev b'cholov, cholov, lina, whatever. This is the Mechaber. The Ramah says that nis'arev b'gvina mutar lecho. If you mixed it already with the cheese, then it's mutar lecho. That's b'di'evet. Because he doesn't know whether Bishul makes it into Nafranat or doesn't. But even the Ramah would say that Nisvashel, the cliche ain't of Yombo, Mutala Arev, Bechalav, and the Gra, well, let's add it to this point, the Gra would say, that if Nisvashel Bekli, excuse me, the Gra would say, Mutter Lechatchila Levashel Bekli Sheina Ben Yama. Kedei Lahare Befala. Because it's only Eina Ben Yama. Okay, these are the different shittas related to making the mac and cheese. Yes, next.
Just getting back to the orders, if I can't use orders for baking a par utensil, because that was using a tool that was dairy equipment that wasn't.
It was using dairy equipment that was ben yomo. It doesn't have any mamushes. The email said that it doesn't have enough mamushes that it's gonna asim, right? It'll be bottle b'shishim no matter what they say. It's very, very small. So if you use a power of a pot to hook that thing in, it's not going to do anything, because when it goes into the pot, it's going to be a tam shlishi. Right? That's not chalav at all. That's not called chalav. So the pot would remain parav. If you use those Oreos, you know, made on dairy equipment, in a power of a something or other, then the pot is still going to remain
parav. So why can't you use meat if it's a cleave?
No, know, because eating it with meat is not, the palm is not coming out. Then you're eating it together with the meat, right? So if you're eating it together with the meat, if this has a din of chalav, right? So to mix it together with the meat would be eating chalav and basar together. That you can't do. But once you cook it, once you bake it or cook it in the pot, so now the question we're asking ourselves is, there may have been a taste that came from this food item into the pot that only would be a tam shlishi.
So then why not put it, so maybe the shorma question, I guess, would be to put those orders in a meat pot if it's
Right. L'chatchila, I probably would not do that, because the problem is then you're going to have the meat, the bli of meat coming out into the oreo. Right, you have the blia of the meat. With that, but just one second, let's think about it. A meat pot is not mixing it with meat. Now, a meat pot is not mixing it with meat. We're talking about that you have not in the macaroni, and then you're mixing it with the other min. You have not in the macaroni of basar, and then you're mixing it with cheese. Not with a secondary infusion of chalav. Not with the not of chalav, with real chalav.
What about afterwards?
So, like having Oreos with meat is not having Oreos with something cooked in a meat pot. I mean, what you're basically talking about is, let's say I have macaroni, right, which was cooked in a meat pot. Can I eat the macaroni with the Oreos? That's what you're asking. The answer is yes. That might not taste so good.
You put the Oreos in the meat pot.
Put the Oreos into a ben yomo meat pot with that asa? The answer is no. Because a not bar not taste of chalav does not aser basa. That's the whole point. The reason why you're allowed to eat the not bar not, okay, let's go to the original case. The reason why even the Rama says once you've mixed it with the gvina, you can eat it, is because you don't have basa b'chalav here. There's no way of creating basa b'chalav here. We look at it as though you have cheese with part of a macaroni. That's how we look at it. Okay? And that's why it's permissible. Noah.
Are we mapping for the Rama in the case where it's not Ben Yomo, or I think
Ashkenaz. Oh. Some people are Samech on the Gra. I think it's probably better to be Machmer for the Ramah. Why is the mainstream? Rabbi Willig is Machmer for the Ramah. Yes.
So, how is the Ramah one different than the Oreo case in terms of eating the Oreos with meat?
Because in that case, you've already mixed the cheese with the not bar not. So in the Oreo case, you have your not bar not, but you haven't mixed it with the meat. If someone mixed the Oreo with the meat, they say, hey, it's parah, there's no problem. You know, D-E, what's D-E? I don't know what D-E is. If someone comes home and says, D-E, what do you mean? That's not bar not. You mixed it already.
So if the Oreos were kvar, like, eaten or mixed,
if you mixed it with the meat, so then the Rama would say that's permissible. But to mix it, l'chafin, with the meat is prohibited, according to Rama. According to Machab, svardim would be allowed to, right?
Svardim could eat Oreos, like, at the same...
Correct, right? They could eat Oreos at the Seder table, as long as they wouldn't be chametz here. Right. I'm saying they could eat, you know, they could eat Oreos with meat, right? Exactly. Okay. Another very important question that relates to Nosin Tam and Nosin Tam is washing dishes. Can you wash fleishigs and milchige dishes, meat and dairy dishes together? Tosis and Chulin and Afkuf Yubeis has a long discussion about this. There's no discussion about washing dishes in the Gemara per se, but the Rishonim talk about it. The Tosfos in Chulin mentions the following scenario. He said he asked the question: is it mutter to wash meat dishes in a boiling hot dairy pot? Now, why would he think of such a scenario? Well, he should just say, is it mutter to wash meat dishes with dairy dishes in a sink? The answer is they didn't have sinks. So the way that they wash dishes is they would boil up a pot, obviously of one type, either chitzo or fleishigs. They would put all the dirty dishes into that boiling water, because there was no other way to make boiling water. They didn't have a boiler. So that's the shaila that Tosfos has. Is it mutter to clean klei basar in a boiling milchike pot? So at first glance, if you were to ask me, I'd say, what could be the problem? If you don't have any mamushas of bus, if you don't have any residue of meat, it's just the dishes are dirty, but there's no meat residue, and there's no milk residue in the yogurt, in the pot, so then everything should be fine. It's all not right now. What could be the issue? So Tosfos is machmir to say that you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't actually clean the dirty, Okay, dirty dishes doesn't mean dirty with meat. It could be dirty with parv, right? Tosa says you shouldn't clean dirty meat dishes in the boiling dairy pot for three reasons, he says. He says, first of all, there could be meat dirt on the dishes. If there's meat dirt on the dishes, obviously we're not talking about naparnat anymore. We're talking about a tam rishon, because the tam of the meat is going to go directly into the milchaga pot that has boiling water in it. So that's not an issue. This milchaga pot is like a kli rishon, because you put it on the fire to create the boiling water. So the first chashash Tosus has is maybe there's going to be shamnunis ve'en on the cave. That would be a problem. But then Tosus says, even if we know for sure that there's no ve'en, there's no shamnunis on the pot, it still might be a problem. Why? He says, well, there's the concern that maybe the dishes are going to touch the milchaga pot directly. Right? They'll be touching each other. They're sitting on each other. So if they're touching each other and there's a blia of basar in the dishes and a blia of chalav in the pot, then they're going to meet together without it being a tam sheni. Again, the way that it's a tam sheni is that the tam comes out of the pot, it comes out of the dishes into some other substance. But if the dishes and the pot are going to be touching each other, so then there's the concern that the tam, the taimim, are going to mesh together in a way that we won't look at it as not bar not. We won't look at it as not bar not. But rather, that's still viewed as the mokom rishon, so to speak. And the third point that Tosus makes is, who says that when the tam comes out of the pot, the dairy tam comes out of the pot into the water, and the meat tam comes out of the dishes into the water, who says that the water is viewed as a separate medium? The case of nosen tam and nosen tam is if you're cooking the macaroni, the tam is coming out into the macaroni, then you can take the macaroni out of the pot and use it in a different context. Right? But here, you have water. And all the time I'm mixing in the water. So Tosus suggests a possibility. Maybe water shouldn't be viewed as a separate emtsoi. Maybe it shouldn't be viewed as a separate medium. So it wouldn't be able to create the not bar not status. It wouldn't become a secondary infusion of taste. A lot of love this over here in Tosus. Either there's a simple chashash that maybe there'll be shamunis be'en, there'll be some kind of meat residue on the kalim, and then there's no not bar not at all to speak about. But even if there's no shamanus, but everything is clean. Meaning, it doesn't have to be clean. If it's clean, why are you washing it? No, because it has part of a dirt on it. Right? Part of a fish or something else. You have other things that, mac and ketchup, right? Not mac and cheese, right? It's part of everything there. But you have blios. Blios of the dishes and blios of the pot. Dairy blios and meat blios. So maybe that could be the problem. So you would say, if that's the problem, isn't it only not bar not? So Tosus says, no, maybe the kalim and the pot are going to touch each other, and somehow they're going to make the taste join together without it being a secondary infusion. Well, secondly, he says that maybe the mayim shouldn't be viewed as a separate medium, so it's not viewed as not bernam. So he's not sure that you should be megil. He actually thinks perhaps you should be mach. Not every rishon is machmer as tos. It's a big machlokas rishon about this. Mechaber and the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch Yerodeya and Simin Tzadi Hey Siv Gimel have a machlokas. Let's say you know for sure that the kalim are clean, meaning they don't have any meat residue on them or milk residue on them. They're dirty. You're washing them, but you're washing them from parav. What's the din? Are we afraid of the nap or not? Because you have meat pot and milchaga dishes and meat pot. Are we afraid can we just be megal because it's all not barnat? Or do we say no, that perhaps it's not going to be not barnat because the water is not viewed as a separate medium? Maybe the dishes are going to touch each other, etc. Machlokas machaber amon. Nowadays, of course, we don't have the scenario that Tosus presents. We have a little bit of a different scenario. Now, we're not actually washing meat dishes in a dairy pot. We're not boiling up the water in a dairy pot. The water is boiled in something parv, in a boiler. The boiler is not meat, it's not dairy. And then the water comes out through the faucet. So that's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. Why? What's the first difference between the situation of the Gemara and the Rishonim in our case? It's not a Kli Rishon anymore. Right? In the case in the Gemara, we were washing the Kalim in a Kli Rishon because the Yorech Choleves, the Milchaga pot, was heated on the fire. And then they just took it off the fire. They put the dishes in. Obviously, they're not going to wash the dishes when it's still boiling hot. But it could still be quite hot when they wash those dishes. Certainly, even before that, the bulils are going to be mixing when the water is boiling hot. That's a clear issue. But nowadays, when we have a boiler, so one could say, what kind of a heat medium are we talking about? Not klirisha, but rather iru klirisha. So we did mention last time that Dayan Weiss was of the opinion that because you open the faucet, when you open the faucet, the boiler is still sitting on the fire, and you're drawing the water out of the boiler when it's still on the fire, maybe that should have a din of klirisha, not iru klirisha. The Chazon Ish wanted to say something like that regarding Hilchos Shabbos. But most poskim disagree. Most poskim assume that it has a din of iru klirisha because the water that's actually coming out is not in the boiler anymore. Right? It's coming through the pipes. It's far from the boiler. It's not in the boiler itself. That's viewed as iru klirisha. So does that change anything? Let's say we were going to be machmir, machlokas machaber amah, to assume that even if the dishes are clean, they don't have any residue of meat or dairy. We still don't want to wash them together because we don't view this as nafbarnat. Somehow this is worse than a nafbarnat case. The water is not viewed as a separate medium. Or maybe it's because the dishes are touching each other. They go directly, the bulil goes directly into the other item. It's not viewed as nafbarnat. But maybe we can be mekel by iru klirisha. Maybe by iru klirisha we can be mekel. So first thing you'd say, why? But we said iru klirisha is a machlokas rishona, whether it's klisheni or klirisha. How do we pass it? So we pass it somewhere in the middle. It's neither klirisha nor klisheni, but it's klirisha to be mavliya kedei klipa. So for our purposes, you know, we don't know what a peel of the plate is. It doesn't really matter. The point is, it is mavliya somewhat. It's a little bit klirisha. So even if it's not klirisha mamish, but it's klirisha to be mavliya kedei klipa, slacha, that should be a problem. Or we don't have any extra kula bizman, is it just because we're talking about irik klirishan and not klirishan mamish? It's not the zel bazach, because irik klirishan is at least mavliya kedei klipa. So what could be the difference? Comes the Ramah there in Yeridea Simon Sadi Hei Siv Gimel, has a major kula. The Ramah says that he thinks that if you're ma'are, if you pour from a klirishan onto fleisha gekele and milcha gekele, dirty kele, let's say. Right? Let's say they're dirty. The Ramah says that iru klirishon can't make it that the kelim are going to be mavliya from each other. Can't do it. Why not? But if iru klirishon is klirishon, we got to be klipa. So within klipa, it should be klirishon. Explain to the Shach what the Ramah has in mind is this: that iru klirishon is not going to be able to do two functions, to serve two functions. It can't warm up the shamnunis, the meat residue, the dairy residue, and to be mavliya that shamnunis into the kli. That can't do. If you throw hot shamnunis, hot meat gravy onto a milcha kli, if you have iru klirishon of pouring out the meat gravy onto a kli, it's going to be mavliya kedei klipa. But here, that's not what we're talking about. Here, we're talking about that there's iru klirishon, boiling water from an iru klirishon that's now going to hit piece of meat, and the concern is that, oh, it's going to heat up the piece of meat, and then it's going to be mavliya, a bulia, the tam of meat, into the milchaka dish. Says the Ramah, that's too much. Iru klirishon, even if it's mavliya teklipa, can't do so much. It can't serve two functions. It can't first heat up the shamnunis and then shove it into the kli. That it can't do. So that's why it's not going to ask them. So if you think about it for a moment, based on that, according to this Ramah, there shouldn't be any problem of washing dairy and meat dishes together. Because what could be the issue? Right? You're not cooking the meat and the dairy dishes together. You're trying to clean them with an iru klirishon. If an iru klirishon, according to the Ramah, cannot heat up residue and be mavliya into the kli, then you're not going to create basu b'chalav. Not in the kli shel basu, not in the kli shel chalav. There's nothing to be worried about b'chalav, according to the Ramah. Tremendous kula. Comes to the Shach and says, but he thinks the Ramah is right, is wrong. That even though this is Pshat in the Ramah, he thinks that iru klirisha can do it. It's powerful. Maybe only kedei klipa, but it can do everything it has to do, kedei klipa. It can warm up the residue, and it can be mavliyed into the kli, kedei klipa. So this is the machlokas Ramah and the Shach, whether one could wash meat and dairy dishes together. Mamish, bevasachas, at the same time. Save time. Wash your meat and dairy dishes. Can you do that? So according to the Shach, no. According to the Ramah, the first place, you'd be allowed to. L'chatchila, The poskim say you should be makhmer for the shach. Yes.
This is all only if the water is azalite as well.
Of course. We're going to get to that in just a moment. I'm assuming it's boiling water coming out of the boiler. Hot as water. You even turned up the boiler. Make sure it's azalite as well. Yeah. And you're going to wear gloves, right? Normally the water is azalite as well. The person is willing to wash the dishes only with gloves. So he really knows that the water is boiling out. So in that case, would there be room to be mekel? Even in that case, the Rama would be mekel. Because he'd say, what's the problem? You're not cooking the milchix and fleshix together. You're simply pouring boiling water on the residue, and the question is whether it's going to be nivla into the other kli, the kli of the other men. That can't go, according to the Rama. The Iri Kli Rishon doesn't have the power to both warm up the residue and to be mavliyah into the kli, but the shach says it can. So the chachila, the poskim say, should be machar for the shach. Let's say b'diavad, a person comes to you and says, oh, givalt, I was washing the meat in the dairy dish. I noticed there was a dairy bowl there. A dairy bowl? Someone had cereal and milk. There was a little bit of milk left in the dairy bowl. Let's assume that it wasn't shishim. There's a concern that there wasn't shishim. What do I do now? So even if l'chatchila one should be makan for the shach and wash the meat in the dairy dishes separately, b'diavad, there might be room to be mekel for the rabbi. Why? Well, there are different siruf. To be mekel for the rabbi just with the rabbi, I don't know. That might be a little bit of a stretch, right? Because the post can really argue with the Rambam. So just to take the Rambam face down to be making just based on the Rambam, that might be too much of a kula. But often there are different siruf and lakal, there are different snifim to be making. What's the first sniff? What's the first other tzad lahakim? Soap. People often use soap to clean their dishes. I hope so, right? If not, the oil's not going to come off. I mean, it's pretty common to use soap when you wash the dishes. So what does soap do? Is it nosen tam lefgam just because you use the soap? It's not so clear it's nosen tam lefgam just because you use the soap. The Mechaber has a famous statement, Yeroeli. Mechaber says this in Simen Tzadi Hei Sif Dalit. He thinks that if you put afer, you put ashes into the pot, so that makes it lefgam, and then there's no problem. You put the ashes into the pot before you clean the pot, so then that's not going to... Then no time in the aser over here. The shach is masig on the machaf. The shach there, he says, this din is not found in the poskim. It's Rav Yosef Karo's invention that Afer somehow solves the problem. Why does it solve the problem? He doesn't think it solves the problem just because you put Afer. That could be the shach is talking about Afer. It's not talking about our soaps. Our soaps, you know, can be much more caustic. Detergent, certainly, even our liquid soaps. Olive gum, according to many posters, it's unclear whether even the shach would admit that it's not some olive gum is manazet. But even if the shach is right, the ikra, then you can be mekel for the mechaber, the posters say. So even if l'chatchila, we wouldn't be mekel l'chatchila to say that you can wash the meat and the dairy dishes together with soap. As long as you have the soap, you're fine. That far we wouldn't go. But if the evident person comes to you and says that they washed their meat dishes and they found that there was a dairy dish there too, or they washed the dairy dishes and they found there was a meat dish or a meat knife or something like that. So if they use soap to wash the dishes, then there might be room to be mekel. Because it could be that soap makes it lefgam, like the mechaber. And the other side is, according to the Ramah, you don't even need the soap. Right, the Iri Kli Rishon is not going to create an issur here b'chalal because it can't warm up the residue and be mavliyah into the other kli. So as long as you just wash the kelim, make sure that they're clean, there's nothing. There's going to be no bliyah or basa b'chalal in either one of the kelim. What's more, as Noah points out, if you don't know if it's yatzo lettuce, well, you don't know how hot the water really was, you have your doubts as to whether it was yatzo lettuce, well, mamish, it may not have been 110 degrees. Right? The shear of Yatzel Lesbo itself is a question, whether it's anywhere between 110 and 160. So you don't know exactly how hot it was. It wasn't boiling hot. You aren't wearing gloves. So that's another reason to be makel, that it shouldn't acid the kelim, shouldn't acid the silverware, and it shouldn't acid the pots. But the only thing I'll tell you is that the scrubber or the sponge that you use, you probably should throw out. If you really had a meat residue, you know, that went on the dairy sponge, then you're going to have meat inside that. You have meat and milk inside that dairy sponge. You probably should throw the sponge out and get a new sponge. That's not a big deal. It's only like 50 cents or something. Right? If you have a sponge, a scrubber might be a little more expensive, but it's probably better if you wash the meat and the milk dishes together, incidentally. So then you should throw out the scrubber at least, but to kasher the dishes or the silverware, I think you don't have to really be machmir for that. As long as you use soap. If you didn't use the soap, and you think that it might may have been yatzlos, well then perhaps there's room be machmir. So what's the proper procedure? How should one wash their milk and fleshy dishes? You want to wash them. Let's say you don't have two sinks. You have two sinks, so there's no shayla. Keep your fleshy dishes in the fleshy sink and keep the milk in the milk sink. What happens if you have only one sink? Like some Washington Heights apartments only have one sink. So what do you do to make sure that you wash them separately? Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva that the best thing to do is to have two separate racks. You know, they sell these racks in the home improvement stores. Have two separate racks. Why? Because then you won't have meat and milk mixing together on the bottom of the sink. You know, if you don't have the two separate racks, then you're going to have the milk dishes on the bottom. You have milk left over there. Then you have meat dishes. The milk and the meat is going to remain there on the bottom of the sink. So that could be more of a problem. You know, then you're being makel for the ramah, right? That the irreclamation is not going to warm up the milk and the meat residue and throw it into the sink and throw it into the dishes. But if you have the racks, so then the dishes are never touching whatever is in the sink. Your sink could be treif, but your dishes could be perfectly kosher. That's the best thing to do, to have two racks. What's the din of having the same dishwasher for milk and fleshes? Is that the same shayla or not? So some of the poskim say it's a problem. You shouldn't have the same dishwasher for milk and fleshes. Because they say, what's going to happen? The dishwasher, you know, fills up with boiling water, and then it's going to throw meat residue onto the wall of the dishwasher, and then milk residue onto the wall of the dishwasher. So if you use it for milk and fleshes, so then you'll be getting a blia outside, you know, out of the wall of the dishwasher. The wall of the dishwasher is treif. It has a blia of basar and it has a blia of chalav in it. So then you're going to be getting that blia coming out in the third cycle. You did it for milk and fleshes. Now in the third cycle, it's going to be coming out and it's going to asa your kelim. That's what some of the poskim wanted to suggest. There's some claim, but isn't it lefgam? You're using detergent, so what could be the problem? Mamish caustic detergent. So others claim that it's not as lefgam as you think, because unfortunately some of the dishwashers, the way they work, the first cycle is just water. It's not. They don't put detergent. The dishwasher doesn't put the detergent in until the second cycle. Because first they want to rinse off the dishes and like make the, you know, soften whatever is on the dishes. So the problem is, if the first time that the water is going to be spritzing all around, it's just spritzing the meat without the detergent in it. It's not nosen tam lefgam. So that's a big problem. You have your meat blia going into the wall of the pot, and you had your dairy blia going to the wall of the pot before some. The wall of the dishwasher before, so then you're going to be having a tray for blia, a blia basa b'chol coming out and hitting your dishes. That's how many of the poskim suggested. But Moshe wasn't so sure that you have to be so machmir. He thought that maybe me'ikar adin, you could use the same dishwasher for both milk and fleshes. Why? Because even if the wall of the pot becomes asa, what's going to happen? How can it asa the dishes that now you have in the dishwasher? You're assuming that now the wall of the dishwasher is asa, and there's going to be an irui, right? There's going to spritz into the wall of the dishwasher and then come back onto your dishes. Think about it. That's not an irui klirishon. That's irui shenipsak. The stream is bouncing off the walls. Right? Rav Moshe thought, if the stream is bouncing off the walls, that's not a direct irikli rishon. That's not going to hasar at all. So that really shouldn't be a problem, he said. Rav Moshe though says, he thinks that if you want to use the same dishwasher for milk and fleshes, you have to have two different racks. Because he said there is a concern that maybe the dishwasher is not going to clean the racks so well, and you might have some kind of a residue that remains on the racks. I'm sure we've all had experiences where we've taken out dishes after they've been in the dishwasher, there's still something on the dish. Moshe's afraid that maybe there's going to be something still on the racks. If you'll have meat still on the rack, then you put your milchik and dishes on the rack, then boiling water is going to touch that piece of meat, so that might be nivla into your dish. And again, I know that there is soap there, etc. There is a ramah to be made before the chatchila, though it's probably better not to do that. So I think technically, because you probably can't get a separate rack for a dishwasher. I don't think they sell separate racks for dishwashers. Just from a practical standpoint, they do. You can get a separate rack. Okay, Rav Moshe would say that you could have the same dishwasher for milk as a pleshiks, even though you do have, you know, junk in the filter on the bottom. That's pogum at lechora. Rav Moshe is not concerned about. So Rav Moshe would say you can have the same dishwasher for milk as a pleshiks as long as you switch the racks. You switch the racks, one for milk and one for fleshiks. You shouldn't have it now. Others are more machmer, and they say you should have a separate dishwasher, one for milk and one for fleshiks. Yes. Yes.
There's no residue. Can you put ben yomo made of that? Like, if you don't, that means you wouldn't have to change the racks. If you don't see anything on the racks, can you wait for the day?
If you don't see anything on the racks, maybe even without waiting a day, it should be permissible. If you would wait a day, that certainly would be good. Huh?
So buying a house.
You're talking about kashering it from treif?
So
kashering it from treif, what you should do is run it a cycle. Kabola kach polta. It's like a hagola. Whatever happens when they ran the dishwasher before is going to happen now. Yes, it's ace. If you want, you could run a cycle. You first can run a cycle with detergent, you know, to be poging whatever is there. Just in case they didn't run their dishwasher with detergent, it's hard to believe that they didn't, but they run a cycle. And in fact, you can run a cycle with detergent, then you can run a regular cycle. You probably don't even need to run the cycle with detergent. If you run a regular cycle, obviously you got to make sure that the dishwasher is clean. Unfortunately, a lot of dishwashers, after a while, they develop a grime on them. They develop a grime. It depends on the kind of water you're using, and, you know, there are all these different things. Aside from detergent, they have these other liquids that you're supposed to put in to dissolve some of the grime. You can't kasher something that has grime on it, because you're not going to be able to kasher the surface below that grime. So you just have to make sure that the dishwasher is really clean. If the dishwasher is clean, Lefar, you should be able. Most of the dishwashers are made out of plastic. Some are made out of stainless steel. Stainless steel is even better. Plastic is a shy that you can kasher. But we pass that you can kasher. For Pesach, there are those who are machmer not to kasher plastic. But generally speaking, we hold you can kasher plastic. If you have a dishwasher that's made out of plastic, you're getting a new apartment, and people have used it before, make sure that you clean it well. They have these things that you can clean out the grime. What's it called? Iron out or something? So you put in one of these strong caustic things that like cleans out the whole dishwasher. You got to run like a few cycles of that. And that cleans out the whole dishwasher. It cleans out from whatever grime you had there before. And then it's very caustic also. It's pogame everything. Then you run the dishwasher in one cycle, and that will kasher the dishwasher completely. Then you should be allowed to use it for the kosher food that you have. Okay, we'll stop.